if you're going to a Lutheran church, you should be hearing the name of Jesus more than the name of Martin Luther.
Pastor Trevor Sutton, author of the book Being Lutheran.
And I think that's really what Martin Luther would want. He made it quite clear that this faith is not to be based on him, but is to be based on Christ alone.
You can purchase Being Lutheran at issuesetc.org or by calling Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040. Being Lutheran, the Issues Etc. Book of the Month.
Now pay close attention, little children. It's somebody you ought to know. Yeah, it's all about a man that walked on earth nearly 2,000 years ago. Well, he healed.
This is one of those staples of the Sunday school classroom. Maybe it's because children, being small of stature, somehow can sympathize with what appears to be one of the characters here in this account in Luke chapter 19, Zacchaeus the tax collector. Now, he's more than just a tax collector. He's actually the chief tax collector of the region, and he wants to see Jesus, but because he was, like the children, small of stature, as Luke puts it, he runs ahead of where Jesus will be and climbs a tree so that he could see him as he passed by. That's about all the farther we usually get with Zacchaeus. Of course, the story itself has a lot more to say, and maybe his stature is not exactly the point of this. We're going to be talking about Zacchaeus from Luke chapter 19 as we teach a Sunday school lesson on this Tuesday afternoon with Pastor Tom Baker, host of a radio show called Law and Gospel. Tom, welcome back.
Thank you.
Is the point here the one that most people take away, that Zacchaeus was just a little guy?
I don't think that's the important point, because that doesn't say anything about Jesus. We have to look and see, what is the important point of this passage as to why the Holy Spirit felt it was important to put it into the Scripture? Now, Luke is a real historian. He has all kinds of details that are seemingly unimportant, but he certainly grounds all of these incidents in history. So the fact that he was small in stature, if you were just making up a story, you probably wouldn't say something like that. So the very fact that he was small in stature, yes, there are people who are small, like children, and maybe they get interested in that, but there's a lot more to this than just the fact that Jesus will deal with small people. In fact, the term small here is where we get the word micros. Namely that it is microscopic. That's where we get it. It's something really small. You need a microscope. And that's the word used to refer to him as being small in stature. It also can be small in age or younger, but in this particular situation, the context is very clear that because of the loss of height that he had to go up into a tree to see Jesus.
Okay, so he's entering Jericho, this very ancient city, formerly a pagan city. The man runs on ahead so that he could see Jesus. Is there anything in the fact that he wants to see him other than, at least at this point in the story, just curiosity about this now famous man who's nearing Jerusalem?
He had heard about probably the miracle that Jesus had just done in the previous chapter, where a blind man received his sight. And in fact, in verse 43, it says, he recovered his sight and followed him, glorifying God. And all the people, when they saw it, gave praise to God. Verse 2 talks about Zacchaeus, a chief tax collector, which means he was very rich. And verse 3 explains, and he was seeking to see who Jesus was. I mean, how many times maybe you're on a plane and you hear that one of the stars in a basketball team or a football team is on the plane, and so maybe you just get up to go back to the washroom just so you can see, boy, what does he look like in real life? And I think that's all that's happening on this account. He wanted to see who Jesus was, what he looked like. But on account of his being short, he had to climb up into a sycamore tree to see him because Jesus was about to pass that way.
Now, when Jesus gets there, he not only stops, but it says he came to the place, he looked up and said to him, by name, Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house today. And we are given there by Luke the account of the people's reaction to Jesus inviting himself over to the tax collector's house.
This is really important. It's not that the tax collector invites Jesus. It's Jesus, in a sense, invites himself. That's really quite unusual, particularly in light of the fact that tax collectors were despised by the Jewish people of that day because the Romans were really smart. They would put officials from the natives in the land in which they had conquered, and tax collectors, therefore, were Jewish people collecting taxes for the Romans. And so a lot of times they collected more than they had to, and that's what made them rich. But the very fact that they were working for Gentiles, that's why the people hated them. So they were really looked down upon. It would be like me as a pastor going through a neighborhood, and I ran into a motorcycle gang, and I invite them myself into their bar or whatever in order to have a talk with them and to eat with them. Members of the congregation may say, what is he doing? Doesn't he know what kind of people these people are? But Jesus does that, and the fact that he knows the name of Zacchaeus, I think one of the most important lessons we can get from here is what we call, what are the elect? The elect are those whom God has selected to be saved. And when we get to verse 9, we'll get into a lot more detail on that.
Okay, so they're grumbling, saying he has gone to be the guest of a man who is a sinner. But this is not unusual for Jesus at all, is it?
No, he's done this before with women. Remember, he allowed a woman to wash his feet who was known and having an unsavory reputation. And then there were a number of times, and he would just be, in Luke 15, the whole thing starts that he's with sinners and tax collectors, and the Pharisees are really upset over him. And of course, then come the three parables of what are referred to as the lost sheep, the lost coin, and the lost son, which Jesus shows these are the kinds of people that God goes looking for and finds.
Then Zacchaeus moved somehow from idle curiosity to actually repentance. In verse 8, Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I restore it fourfold. And Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this house, since he is also a son of Abraham, for the Son of Man came to seek and save the lost, reflecting the very words you just spoke there. How does Zacchaeus go from a guy who just wants to see Jesus coming into town to not just a repentant person, but one who seeks to restore the wrong he's done?
The fact of the matter is, Zacchaeus well knows his reputation as one who is looked down upon, and he himself recognizes he's working for the Romans, and he also recognizes that he has, for example, taken from people more than he should have. That's a well-known fact about the tax collectors in Jesus' day, including the tax collector that Jesus chose as one of his disciples, Matthew. So how does this come to an act of repentance? What is repentance? Repentance is not really, I'm sorry for what I have done. Repentance, according to Luke 15, is when God finds us and he now brings us home. When Jesus, the Messiah, says to Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house today. What he was doing here, you would only eat in those days with people that were considered to be your equal. And therefore, Jesus was going to a home of a sinner in the reputation of people, and therefore he was so struck with that. It reminds me of another parable we've already spoken about a little bit, Luke 15, and that is when the son returns home to manipulate the father, he instead finds the father rushing out to him and grabbing him and hugging him. And it is such an impact on the son that he no longer attempts to manipulate the father. He just, I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. This is what has happened to Zacchaeus. The law has hit him, and it hit him by Jesus indicating that he was going to go to his house. So like the lost sheep, he picks a lost sheep up and carries him home. In this particular situation of what really happened, Jesus goes to the home of a sinner. And then Zacchaeus, Lord, half of my goods I give to the poor. If I defrauded anyone of anything, I restored fourfold. Repentance also has the indication and the response on the part of the person who has been struck by his sinfulness, that he does want to restore back to those that he has defrauded. And Jesus says something in verse 9. Today, salvation has come to this house. Now, if you just take a superficial look at that, you would think that because Zacchaeus is going to restore money to people that he had stolen it from, that's what saves him. No. When Jesus says salvation has come to this house, the word salvation actually refers to Jesus himself. It's Jesus who is coming to the house of the sinner. And what is the reason? He doesn't say today salvation has come to this house since Zacchaeus has now restored fourfold to those he has cheated. No. Because he is a son of Abraham. And that's what I meant by the elect. God knows who the elect are. And therefore, what does the Son of Man do? He comes to seek and to save the lost, which is very close to four chapters earlier, Luke 15, and that was the lost sheep. You see, I would say, therefore, that the incident with Zacchaeus is a living example of what Jesus was referring to in the parable of the lost sheep. The shepherd goes out and finds someone lost. And the very fact that he puts it on his shoulders, boy, or when he dresses the son in the best robe, puts on the sandals and the ring, there is such a feeling of remorse over what the son did and the sheep getting lost, that there is great joy in heaven over what? Not somebody who found themselves or did something to get right with God, but very clearly, there is more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents. And Luke 15 tells us very clearly, repentance is an action of God through the Son of Man who comes, seeks us, and then saves us. That's the true meaning of Zacchaeus.
Pastor Tom Baker is our guest. When we come back, we'll have a few more minutes with him as we teach a Sunday school lesson today, Zacchaeus, the story from Luke chapter 19. Tom hosts a radio show called Law and Gospel, and you'll find a link to Law and Gospel right there at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand.
I think every man, every Christian should consider, at least, the possibility of God calling him into the holy ministry.
Issues Etc. regular guest, Dr. Carl Fekencher of Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana.
Because that's the way that God has designed for faith in Christ Jesus to be spread, for the gift of eternal life that Christ Jesus earned by his death and resurrection to be shared with people by the washing of baptism for infants and for adults, for the instruction, the proclamation of the word that happens on a nonstop basis in God's kingdom. God uses people, he uses men to be those proclaimers, to be those men who share the sacraments.
If you've ever considered becoming a pastor, contact Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Their phone number, 1-800-481-2155, 1-800-481-2155, or visit ctsfw.edu.
Do you have a student finishing up eighth grade at a Lutheran school? Do you wish there were a Lutheran high school close to where you live so your student could continue going to a Lutheran school? What if there was an opportunity for high school students in public or Lutheran school to take classes like Latin, logic, and hard-hitting theology courses? Well, there is. It's called Wittenberg Academy, the first completely online classical Lutheran high school. Visit our website, wittenbergacademy.org, to find out more.
Metro East Lutheran High School in Edwardsville, Illinois, engages young adults in a Christ-centered environment, delivering academic excellence and spiritual growth to develop Christian leaders for tomorrow. We provide a Christ-focused alternative to public high schools. Many of our students receive tuition assistance. To help us provide tuition assistance to more students, go to melhs.org and click on the giving page, or call me, Dr. J. Krause, principal, at 618-656-0043.
Equipping the priesthood of all believers, you're listening to Issues, Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues, Etc. 300. Zion Lutheran, Muscoota, Illinois. Redeemer Lutheran, Fort Wayne, Indiana. Grace Lutheran, Auburn, Michigan. Zion Lutheran, Pleasant Plains, Illinois. The Lutheran Church of the Incarnate Word, Rochester Hills, Michigan. Zion Lutheran, Laramie, Wyoming. Redeemer Lutheran, Seymour, Indiana. Zion Lutheran, East Moline, Illinois. And Peace Lutheran, South St. Louis County. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues, Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to our website, issuesetc.org, and click support. When your congregation joins the Issues, Etc. 300, we'll advertise your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues, Etc. journal. issuesetc.org, click support. The Issues, Etc. 300. Welcome back to Issues, Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Pastor Tom Baker is our guest. We're teaching a Sunday school lesson on Zacchaeus in Luke chapter 19. Tom, you mentioned something before the break that I think probably needs a little more explanation, especially kind of a simple way of explaining this in the Sunday school classroom, and that is this concept of God having his elect. And that's why I agree with you completely. This is exactly why Jesus refers to Zacchaeus as a son of Abraham. He is one of these who has been foreknown, and we can even say in the proper biblical sense, predestined before the foundation of the world for salvation. And Jesus is just coming to him and telling him flat out that he has salvation, the way it happens with every one of us. So how would you best explain this very comforting gospel doctrine, properly understood, of election in a Sunday school classroom that wouldn't raise red flags or get the children crying?
Yes, because you hit it on the head when you use the word comfort. The purpose of every Sunday school class is to comfort the children. Well, first of all, you have to figure out why they ought not be comforted. Well, they don't go up to a sycamore tree. They don't see Jesus today. So how do they know that they are part of the elect? Well, the key is verse 9. Salvation has come to this house. Well, there's no surprise that we often talk about our houses of worship. And what happens in worship? We know that salvation comes to adults with the absolution. For example, I confess my sins. The pastor says, upon this your confession, I, by authority of Jesus Christ, forgive your sins. So now there is a comfort on the basis of a promise. So that's what we're looking for. where can we give the children a comforting promise that they too can know they're part of the elect? And of course, the way the Sunday school teacher does that is, when did Jesus come into their house? He came into their house when they were baptized. And I always like, I baptize you into the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, because baptism is a form of adoption whereby even an infant can be brought into the family of God, with God the Father as the Father, Jesus as the brother, and the Holy Spirit as the comforter. So, one of the most important documents that a child can have, and I would encourage Sunday school teachers to tell the parents of the children to frame their baptismal certificate. When I was a pastor at the congregation I was for 28 years, the Sunday school teachers each Sunday not only had a birthday announcement, if any of the children had a birthday that week, but they also had a re-birthday announcement. And oftentimes we would give out a little gift like a shell or something like that, because their re-birthday, and that's going back to John chapter 3, how can I be reborn again? And Jesus says, by water and the Spirit. So the children can maybe get them all to hold hands together and say, thank you, Jesus, for making me part of your family through baptism. Just as they say that, I'm going to be teaching a confirmation class this year, and I'm going to teach them how to do memory work. One of the ways to do it is simply to say something 25 times. For example, thou shalt have no other gods before me. All you do is you get the kids to say it 25 times, and they are not going to forget that first commandment. Similarly, all you do is have the children join hands and thank Jesus for bringing us into the family of God by baptism. I'm not saying you have to do it 25 times, but maybe 5 or 10 times. And that will give them a hope and a comfort, because it is based not on their behavior or how they are becoming better Christians. It's based on the behavior of Jesus Christ and how he has adopted them into his holy family.
So in the end here, we have a perfect example of law and gospel, although it is the law that's kind of implicit in the public accusation against Zacchaeus here. And he certainly ends up with far more than he thought. He was just going to get a glimpse of Jesus, and he ends up with Jesus in his house delivering salvation. What's the law and the gospel of this very familiar story now?
It reminds us again of what's called the prodigal son, where he was looking that the father would take him back, you know, if he promised to help pay back what he owed. That's why he wanted to be one of the best workers on the field, not a servant, but one who got high praise. And when he came to the father, recognizing his sinful condition, and the father took him back without any kind of other expectations, namely by grace, then he melted in the arms of the father, much as did the thief on the cross when he heard the words of Jesus and finally said, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus says to him, today you will be with me in paradise. That promise from Jesus is to every one of those who have been baptized as they trust in Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of their sins. And that includes even children. And they'll recognize that, because they didn't do anything to become children of their parents. That was an act of the parents, either through being begotten or adopted. and now they get all the benefits of it, and that's how you explain to them, Jesus did the same thing to you. He brought you into the family of God through baptism, and now for the rest of your life, you have benefits here on earth and eternal benefits in heaven.
Pastor Tom Baker is host of a radio show called Law and Gospel. Tom, thank you very much for being our guest.
And thank you, Todd.
Tom mentioned earlier in our conversation this Sunday school curriculum from Concordia Publishing House. It covers the familiar Sunday school lessons and some of them less familiar. It's called Growing in Christ. You can find out more about Growing in Christ right there at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Or you can call Concordia Publishing House and they'd be happy to send you a free sample. 1-800-325-3040. 1-800-325-3040. When we come back, we're going to spend some time with Dr. Joel Kotkin. We're going to be talking with him about the rise of state religion. He has a couple examples from the state of California, one dealing with the free exercise of religion when it comes to religiously based colleges and universities, and the other with dissent or even questioning climate change. We'll talk about both of those on the other side of the break. At Concordia University Irvine, you can pursue advanced theological study for academic, professional, or personal development. Concordia's Master of Arts in Theology program is grounded in the truth of Scripture and insights from the Lutheran Confessions. Courses are taught online and at intensive on-campus sessions in the summer. Apologetics, Christian education leadership, and Reformation studies are just a few of the emphases offered. For more information, visit cui.edu/theology.
We know that you want to build your family on the right foundation from the very start, the foundation of Jesus Christ. Concordia Publishing House offers more than 8,000 products for churches, schools, and homes, dedicated customer service, and an experienced staff to help you focus on what matters most. Click to connect at cph.org. Concordia Publishing House, listening, responding, providing for God's people. Concordia Publishing House, cph.org.
Smartest listeners in radio. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Are you tired of working out at big box gyms? You'll find quality personal training and qualified instruction at Performance Fitness in Edwardsville. You can even work out for a full 30 days before making a commitment to join. Find out more at performancefitness618.com or call 618-692-5063. Performance Fitness is the facility in the St. Louis Metro East where the focus is on member results, not membership numbers. Performancefitness618.com.
College Preparation Station in Maryville, Illinois offers ACT, SAT, and PSAT test prep, scholarship application classes, college and career counseling, and more. Hi, this is Lori Konski, president of College Preparation Station. We have helped our students obtain more than $7 million in tuition scholarships in 12 years. Find out more at cpsprep.com. Let us help you create a vision and find your future. The College Preparation Station in Maryville, Illinois, cpsprep.com.